This one gonna hit him right here.
So many people are hurt inside. Don't even know him, even though they might have heard of God.
Get into this.
Can he love me? Will he hear my prayer? I think I'm ugly when he sees my nose and sees my hair. I heard of a savior, heard he bled and died.
Yes,
he can heal my sins and we can get his life. Yet I wonder for me if he will even care.
Let me get up in this verse right now.
Grateful, Lord God, this morning for life. Father, we're grateful, Father, for breath. Lord, we're grateful, Father, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And this morning, Lord, as a grateful people, we come before you, and first and foremost, Lord God, we say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for, Lord, the health that we have in you. Thank you, Father, for your strength, Lord, that flows through us because we are in the vine, Lord. We are in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us, Father, and Lord, that you're leading and directing these lives, Father, that are submitted to you in this place. So, Father, this morning, Lord God, as we come before you, Father, first, Lord, we bind every demonic force, every work of the devil, every hindering spirit, Lord, every imagination that exalts itself against the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We break it, bind it, and cast it out in Jesus' name. And, Lord, in this place right now, we proclaim the free flow of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask and pray, Lord God, this day, Lord, for your will to be done, Lord, your kingdom to come here, Lord God, and in these lives. Father, we submit ourselves, Lord, completely to your Lordship, Father, and Lord, to your rule. And right now, Father, I just admit openly that there is nothing good in me except your Holy Spirit. So to your Spirit, Lord God, I yield completely. And Father, we just go forward this day, Lord God, into this word and this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I even on the way when I was coming over here, I'm so grateful in my heart for what we have in Christ Jesus. You know, because we all experience challenges in this life. Every person in this life experiences challenges. Nobody doesn't. And in fact, the places that you will get challenged, that you will get tested, is in the very places where God is working something out in your life to refine you, to make you what He wants as a reflection of Him. So you remember the rich young ruler? What Jesus did with him was, he, after this guy had gone through all the different things, he said, I've done all the stuff, I've obeyed all the law, but I know I'm missing something. And Jesus said, okay, first, he said, okay, go sell everything that you've got and then come follow me. And the guy went away sad because for him, there was an area in his life that was off limits for God. That God was not allowed to come in there. And the thing about the kingdom of God, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the dominion of the king, the rulership of the king, the lordship of the king. And within the kingdom of God, God's rulership is complete. God's dominion is total. There is nothing that is outside or off limits to Him. He's a complete and total king.
Uh,
offers for us is we have to make a free will submission to give that lordship to Him. That we're given that privilege. We're given that you're given that by God because of the way He made you and created you. So when Jesus taught the people to pray in Matthew 6, "Your God, your kingdom come, your will be done," we were taught to pray to yield your will to the complete and total lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that free will submission, that free will decision that you and I make, that we put ourselves in a position for God to completely instruct every area of life as you go through this life and this world. Okay, so the problem that people face is when it gets too hot in the kitchen. When Jesus starts digging in deep, He goes in deep to the different areas of your life. So someone will start down the road with Jesus. Oh, look, there's a loving God that loves me and He wants to have a relationship with me. Great, I love you, Jesus. Yeah. So. Yeah. Right, yeah, it's okay. We're all working together here. This is one body. So they start down this road where it's like, "Oh, Jesus, I love you. You're great." You healed me. You helped me with a family problem. I had some financial thing going on. Whatever. But now, as you keep walking with Him, the light starts shining bright into the areas of life. And there comes a point with every person where either that light's shining bright and it's very uncomfortable and it's very difficult, and either they make a decision, "Yes, Lord, I choose that complete submission to you no matter what it costs," or they say, "All right, Lord, this far, like the rich young ruler, and no further." Now, there's a point of dying to self that also goes along with that. There's a place of self-will, of self-preservation that has to be let go. This is what Jesus talked about in Matthew, in Mark 8. You have to take up your cross and follow Him if you want to become one of His disciples. So there is no other way. And the problem is when people reach that place of limitation, most, the majority of people don't want to go any further. What they want Jesus to heal them so they can get back to their life in the world. They want Jesus to fix their financial problems so they can go back to their life in the world.
Yeah.
want life in the world and to be part of the world and the world system, and for Jesus to be this genie in the bottle that they rub when they need something. Now that's not God. Jesus doesn't work like that. You remember when the Pharisees showed up and they said, "Do a miracle for us, Jesus?" Jesus said, "Look, the only sign that you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonas." Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. That is the sign. Death and resurrection. That's the sign of the prophet Jonas. Yeah. Okay. So, now what happens with us, but so they missed it, they didn't see it, they didn't get their signs and their wonders on call. God does enough to confirm His lordship and His rule, but He doesn't do it for a show. A mark of the world is they're always concerned about the show and the appearance. How does it come across? How is it? They're always thinking about the perception. But Jesus is looking for the heart and the soul. He's digging much deeper than the surface. He's looking at every motive and intention that happens behind even whatever we do, whatever we say. Okay. So, God has made this whole thing. And you and I are living in it. Okay, Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Okay. And let's start at verse 12. It says, "For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the foundation and the flood. Thou didst dry up mighty rivers. The day is thine, and the night also thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter." Go ahead. Sure. Okay, so, thank you. So, God created the whole thing. You know, I was thinking about this one last night. Okay, even verse 17. "Thou set the borders of the earth." Right? You know, if verse 17. Okay. You and I can't really escape to Saturn, can we? We can't really go to another planet. You and I can't really, we can't really fly to outer space and stay there a very long time. We kind of have to come back to this earth, yeah? You can't really go down way too deep into the ocean and stay there for very long. You kind of have to come back, right? Now you can go to another country, we have a little bit of mobility, but we're kind of locked in to this earth. And you know something? God created the boundaries of that. God created that limitation of where we could go. I mean, there's some space, but we're locked into something right now. And you're locked into something for a season of time, because the soul and the spirit, we've talked about this many times, the soul and the spirit is what is the true you that exists within the body, which is the car that allows you to be here. So because when you see a person, what you see on the surface is not the real person. It never is. The real person is a spirit and a soul that is within that being. And you can see somebody that to the natural eye may look a certain way, but in the spirit they're completely different. So many of the people the world esteem as beautiful people, if you could see their spirit and their soul, you would realize how ugly they are in the actual reality. And there's a lot of other people that maybe in the natural, they might not be the number one person, but in the realm of spirit, they shine like stars and they're absolutely beautiful, eternally. But that's an eternal reality. That's the real one that all of us will experience very, very soon, because all of us pass through this life very quickly. Okay, but within that, God has created the limitation for our experience. We're all earthlings at this time. We're all kind of stuck in the earth. So, wouldn't it be a good question for a person to ask, Lord, what's my purpose in this limited season that I'm here in the earth? Because you see a couple of things. One is a limitation of the time that you're here. All of us know appointed unto everyone is a time to die and then the judgment. So all of us know that much, yes? And then all of us also know there's a limitation to where you can go. You can't really get away from this earth during the time that you're here. Now when this body's finished, yeah, you're out. Okay, great. But right now, you see two parameters set by the design of God. So now realizing that there's just those two alone, how stupid is it for a person to not check and find out what the reason is that God has set for their own experience within this time frame? Think about it. If you know that your life is passing on from here, why are you planning like you're going to live the rest of your life here? Why are you worried about certain things that are your, this is not your home, you are transitioning through here? Be a good steward, yeah, don't be wasteful, don't leave a mess for other people to clean up after you, but realize you're passing through this life. There's not a soul that has come into this world that has stayed in this world. All of us, appointed unto every man is a time to die. Then the judgment. So for us, we realize, okay, there's a limitation in a time, as far as, and there's also a limitation in the sphere of where we can go and what we can do. There's something I've kind of started to realize about this whole thing. It's almost like a giant play, like a giant production that God is putting on. It's like a massive teledrama. Huge teledrama. And the only real actors on this thing are the children of God, because everything else is a stage prop. Everything else is just something there to facilitate the play that God is putting on. And we know that at the end of this thing, that God will wipe away every tear. He'll make all things new, right? Okay? Those are there, promises. So in this whole thing that we are in and we are experiencing and we're about, this massive play, a big part of it is to show the redemption and the love of God for His creation and for mankind. I mean, what an amazing way for God to demonstrate the depths of His love in the cross. It's very easy for a person to say, "Oh, I love you." What does that mean? I love chocolate. What does that mean? I love chocolate. I love cricket. What does that mean? What does that love mean? But God showed the depth of His love in the cross. God showed the depth of His passion for His for those that were His, that would be spent, that would be His bride for all eternity, He showed the depth of that in the cross and what He did of His own free will. So God came onto the stage, God came onto the play stage that we're all on as well. God Himself came onto this and played a role and a part in this entire production. And through the trials and the testings and the onslaughts of all the wicked people that were around Him and the devil and the temptations and all of that, God showed and demonstrated His love for the Father and His love for us. And now it's our turn. Now you and I are on the stage. We're here for a limited time as well. And you're on the stage right now. You're in the middle of it. This is your role. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are all watching everything that's taking place. Right. Okay, I was thinking of, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by that are watching everything in the dimension of spirit that's taking place here right now. Okay. So now, for us, see, one thing that's so wonderful is that when you and I cross over from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God, Acts 26, Paul talks about this. We then understand, we're given, as you continue to walk in this, you understand the mind of God. The Spirit of truth leads and guides you into all truth. You connected to the head. The Spirit, the head, is giving you life and speaking to you the very mind, the very thoughts of God. And in every season, the Spirit of God is quickening you for how to respond in accordance with the will of God. Let's go back to verse 17. And the second part says that, thou hast set all the borders of the earth, thou hast made summer and winter. Okay, how many of you have ever experienced winter here? One, two. You've experienced winter. You've been, wow, more than I thought. Gosh, Sri Lanka people that have experienced winter. Where did all you guys, New Delhi, it doesn't count. No, winter, okay, for those of you that haven't experienced, in my dad's from Nebraska. I was born actually in Nebraska. Okay. The summers are very hot. And then, for those of you that have experienced it, you have a period of time called the fall, where all of a sudden it goes from hot to starting to get cool. Okay. And as it starts to get cool, the leaves that were outside, they were all green, they all start to turn brown because the tree realizes, oh, it's starting to get cold, I need to go dormant, I need to start saving my energy because it's going to get cold really soon. So all the leaves turn brown and then they fall off the tree. And then winter comes, and winter, what happens with the winter, because it gets cold, because the angle of the earth, as it's moving around the sun, see, you're on this place where it's all pretty much the same all the time. But people that are further north or further south, they experience the angle of the earth more. So as the winter comes, as it gets very cold, and what would have been rain is now turned into snow. So it's literally ice and small pieces of this moisture that's coming down. So lakes freeze. If you're not careful with your house, the water in the taps will freeze, the pipes will burst. So all kinds of different things happen when the winter shows up. And people get ready for winter, then when winter happens, they brace themselves for it, and then after winter passes, you go into the period called spring. Now when spring comes, everything starts to warm back up again. So then the tree that lost all its leaves, new leaves start coming out, and then it's getting ready for summer again. And spring is actually my favorite season. I love spring. Because everything is fresh and everything is new. You walk outside, you're like, it's just so nice. Okay. Why do I go through that whole cycle? Well, one thing is because it shows the handiwork of God in God's creation. God has made every cycle even that's there. He's made, for example, one you experience every day. You experience night and day. You experience the sun and then the moon. You experience every day, dark and light. So you and I experience different cycles because part of this is the design of God within the world you're living in. And for us, part of it is you have to, and I have to, be in step with God, with where He is in the cycle of life that we're living in. So, for example, let me bring this to a massive world context. Right now, what's going on in England? Anyone know? Who's watching the news? What's happening there? What's it called? The G20 summit, right? G20 summit. And they found 20 of the stupidest people in the world and brought them to one place to make decisions. G20 summit. I'm not being insulting. The reason I'm saying this is because none of them are connected to the Spirit of God. So if you cannot be connected to the Spirit of God, how can you make a proper decision based on the best interest of creation and what's going to happen in the days ahead? So when I listen to the ideas, when I listen to the thoughts that are already coming out from there, what I think about is somebody trying to AC the beach. What they're trying to do is the equivalent of, oh my gosh, it's hot outside. Quick, get the AC. Let's turn the AC on full blast and then we can cool down the beach. Oh, it's not working. Quick, buy 5 more ACs. Put them all on the beach. No, that's not working. Get 20 more ACs. Okay, you're laughing. Because you know why? When you're connected to the Spirit of God, you see the absolute insanity of the world and the world's people and their absolute inability to make a single decision that's in the best interest of anyone, including themselves. I told you some time back that Pharaoh, when Joseph met Pharaoh and Pharaoh was giving, Joseph was giving the interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh, right? The one redemptive quality that man had was he had the intelligence in himself to realize, oh my gosh, something is coming. I don't know what to do in this situation, but there's someone with the Spirit of God in them, that God's put wisdom in them. Here, you take the ball and you take the shot and you have the responsibility to do it. I'll give you everything you need, but take the measures necessary for the preservation of life. You live in a day where you have 20 world leaders where not one of them has the intelligence that Pharaoh did. What you have is a collective of people that believe that in and of themselves, man will save himself. They believe that in and of themselves, that their group, their collective effort, that man can save himself. That man can fix his problems. When has man ever in his history been able to save himself? If God didn't loan you his breath, you would be gone tomorrow. So what's taking place right now? We have our lifeguarding team, yes? Lifeguards, yes? Okay. If somebody is caught into a current and someone is being swept out to sea, if that person panics and starts to try to swim back as fast as they can, right? What happens? They burn up all of their energy. They use all their resource, everything they have. And then they're so tired as they're being swept out to sea, they're panicking. That's when they drown. remember my dad, when I was very small, and he was teaching me about the beach, he said, look, if you're ever caught in a current, he said, if you realize that it's got you, he said, don't fight it, let go with it, and then wait for an opportunity that will develop, because sometimes it sweeps out and comes back in. Wait for the opportunity, and then when it comes back through, that's when you find it. That's when you use your energy. So what I'm watching right now, as far as the world leaders go, is I'm watching people that are fighting against the current, fighting against what's happening, fighting against even the cycles of God that take place naturally. I'm watching people that have for a long, long, long time rejected every caution of the Lord, every prophetic word that's come to them, every time that God has petitioned them. I'm watching a people that have consistently rejected the word of God, now trying to save themselves. Man can't save himself. So right now what we are watching on a global scale, what you're watching on a global scale is people that if you cannot operate in this world in a path of life without a connection to the Spirit of God. And there is wisdom that comes from Him. The Lord said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. Solomon, when he was made king, he bowed his knee before God and he said, Lord, how can I do this job? I'm just a young guy. I can't do this. He said, Lord, please give me wisdom and understanding so that I can, wisdom and knowledge, understanding so I can know how to best take care of this people that you've given me to rule over. So that I can fulfill this responsibility that I've been placed with. But he had to willfully bow his knee before the dominion of the king in order to put himself in a place where he could receive that from God. And God gave it to him. God showed him what to do. God put him in difficult situations, testing situations, and then God quickened him by His Spirit to show him how to respond. And God will do that for anyone that is willing to bow their knee before the dominion of the king. No matter what your background is, no matter what your schooling is, no matter what anything is, there is wisdom that comes from God. So when it comes down to your projects, when it comes down to your programs, when it comes down to your life, when it comes down to making decisions, when it comes down to the world trying to figure out what it's going to do next, all of it, every answer comes from the Spirit of the living God. If anyone is willing to bow their knee and pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, with an honest heart. But it comes from God Himself, it comes from Jesus Christ, and it comes on His terms. So you and I, what we do is we put ourselves in a position by our free will of willfully submitting to the will of God so that we now can receive from Him that instruction and that direction as we move forward in our season and in our place in this whole grand production of life that God has for us. And there's more I wanted to get into today, but time is up very quickly, so I have to stop there.